Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center presents Doc Talk, an informative health series educating our community on the services provided at Peace Health. We will begin with our host, George Henry, after these messages.
You're not feeling well? You twist your ankle? Or you have that pain in your shoulder that just doesn't go away? There is an alternative to the emergency room. It's a Peace Health walk-in clinic. There's no appointment necessary, and you may have to wait, but you could see someone today. It's open 6 days a week in the 380 building just across from Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. The Peace Health Walk-In Clinic, your local health partners.
The spirit of healing is Peace Health.
When I think about the spirit of healing, I think the most important thing is that it's a team effort and everybody's on the same page.
At the end of the day, all we really want to do is help people.
It's not just a business, it's a mission.
Peace Health continues to reach out and bring healthcare to people who otherwise wouldn't have it.
Healing, compassionate, joyful. That's what Peace Health is about.
Hear stories of our healing spirit at peacehealth.org.
Joining me on this edition of Doc Talk is Diana Pimlott. She is the Director of Pharmacy Services at Peace Health, Peace Harbor Medical Center. And welcome.
Thank you.
This is something new for you, I take it, or at least semi-new?
Something in the terms of visiting with you. Oh yes, absolutely. Radio. Yes, yeah. Radio is new to me.
Well, thank you for coming today. And we'll get into one of the reasons why you're here in just a little bit. But first, let's talk about you and find out a little bit about you. How long have you been in Florence?
I've been in Florence for almost 21 years.
And you went to school?
Graduated from Oregon State University. Did a short tour of Spokane, Washington, where I worked for Sacred Heart Medical Center, a very large facility there in Spokane. It's a regional medical center. And then I came back to Oregon and located here on the coast.
So when did you start out? I mean, are you Oregon native or are you from somewhere else?
I was born in California, cursed California. But I was born in California. And my husband, interestingly enough, was stationed in the Navy in Coos Bay in the mid-80s. So I joined him here in Coos Bay, and we fell in love with Oregon. So very young adults, we migrated here after he completed service. And
so when you were in high school, what things interested you that maybe, or were you not interested in the pharmaceutical end of it? Did that come afterwards?
I've always been interested in science, chemical science, geology, physics, science, and math. Always been interested, very strong in each of those fields. So graduating from high school, I had a Fulbright scholarship to attend Fresno State University geology program. Oh. And for one reason or another, my parents decided that probably wasn't for me. Okay. And they were right, actually. It wasn't for me. So
Full rides are kind of hard to...
It was, yes. As a young teen, you know, mom and dad saying no wasn't well received either. So,
now,
years later, I'm saying, mom and dad, you made the right decision.
Yeah. So you always enjoyed that. So when you went to college, you said, obviously you didn't choose geology, so you chose the sciences?
I chose science as I was working for a generalized degree, then marrying, having a family, traveling around the world a bit with my husband who was in the military, came back, settled into school then with a two-year-old at home. So completed my pharmacy degree.
What does a pharmaceutical education look like? I mean, what kind of things do you... Because obviously, you know, when you think of the responsibility that you have, I mean,
right,
it must be very weighty at times because you've got all this.
What it looks like this day and age and is you won't be eligible for a position in a school of pharmacy without at least a bachelor in science degree. likely a Bachelor of Science in a science field such as microbiology, chemistry, physics, something along those lines. Many students who are eligible for and accepted into a pharmacy program at a college have a biology degree. So after your Bachelor of Science, you're accepted into a pharmacy program, you have another 3 to 4 years, depending on how many clinical rotations are offered and how many clinical elective rotations you desire. Once you've completed that for 3 to 4 years, you leave with a doctorate in pharmacy degree. Following that, however, it's not the end of your education because each year you are required to complete ongoing continuing education, and depending on where you're going to practice. So, for example, if you're going to practice in a hospital clinical setting as a clinical pharmacist, you will likely need some specialized training, a residency program, another 2 years, some specialty practice sites, some certification maybe, which you can do on your own, but it's challenging if you're not actually working in the clinical arena. So altogether, I will tell you that education never stops for many clinicians, including a pharmacist. We continue to train each year.
But it sounds to me like that a pharmacist that works in a drugstore setting, say, obviously has a lot of training as well, but it seems like that in a hospital setting, you have to be a little more quick on your feet with some...
It's not so much quick on your feet.
Knowledgeable about...
It's specialized. Our pharmacists who work in a hospital setting are really specialized to that setting. So for acutely needed care... we have pharmacists who are clinical pharmacists who are trained to work in the ambulatory clinic settings as well. Retail pharmacists and clinical clinical pharmacists trained in hospital or ambulatory clinic environments have completely different functions and roles. But a commonality that we share is to promote best outcomes for our patients in terms of their medication therapies. Advantages that our clinical pharmacists have is that we have access to the patient's medical record. So we can oftentimes spend more time preparing for medication reviews, preparing to counsel our patients or to work with our patients to manage their overall medication therapy plans, then maybe a retail pharmacist who doesn't have immediate access to that information often has to go through a provider's office to try to ask questions back and forth of a provider and may have time constraints in terms of really getting that prescription to the patient.
So not to oversimplify this, but it sounds to me, and maybe I'll just make a metaphor that doesn't make any sense, but the contact you have with a patient is like reading a book. You go through the patient's history. So it's like reading a book, knowing the story, and be better well educated to know exactly what they're going to need for the next step or for the next round of antibiotics or something like that. Is that kind of a simplification of that?
It is a simplification, but we are better prepared because we have the information available to us to monitor the patient. We're looking at their lab values. We're looking to determine, is the medication effective? Is their disease state improving? Are there duplications in medication therapy that we need to address with the provider and the provider's team, who we are working with directly? It's a more direct approach to patient care, And it's a collaborative approach because I have immediate access to the provider and the provider's care team. Whereas a retail pharmacist doesn't have immediate access. They have to make a phone call sometimes.
Right, if they have a question or a concern.
And then they have to wait for a response. And they have to communicate over the phone to ensure that, and sometimes communication gets over the phone can sometimes be difficult, particularly when there is a third party involved, so maybe an office assistant or something like that. So it's just more challenging. And I will say, hats off to retail pharmacists because they are, you know, on the ground sometimes. You know, patients who are leaving the clinic or the hospital don't feel well at all and don't want to wait for those prescriptions. And yet the pharmacist has a professional obligation to ensure that the medications that they are dispensing for that patient are will meet with the best possible outcome for that patient. And there are times when you must stop the wheel, contact a provider and say, I am concerned for whatever reason it might be, and I need to clarify or ask a question of, or maybe even recommend a different drug or a different dose. And, you know, that's in an environment where, as I said, many patients don't want to wait for that kind of care, maybe not understanding what that full service looks like.
I'm speaking with Diana Pimlott. She's the Director of Pharmacy Services at Peace Health, Peace Harbor Medical Center. And when we come back, we are going to talk about antimicrobial stewardship programs, something that you have been asked to be part of.
Yes.
We'll do that in just a moment.
You're not feeling well? You twist your ankle? Or you have that pain in your shoulder that just doesn't go away? There is an alternative to the emergency room. It's a Peace Health walk-in clinic. There's no appointment necessary, and you may have to wait, but you could see someone today. It's open 6 days a week in the 380 building just across from Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. The Peace Health walk-in clinic, your local health partners.
The spirit of healing is Peace Health.
When I think about the spirit of healing, I think the most important thing is that it's a team effort and everybody's on the same page.
At the end of the day, all we really want to do is help people.
It's not just a business, it's a mission.
Peace Health continues to reach out and bring healthcare to people who otherwise wouldn't have it.
Healing, compassionate, joyful. That's what Peace Health is about.
Hear stories of our healing spirit at peacehealth.org.
On this edition of Doc Talk, I'm speaking with Diana Pimlott, the Director of Pharmacy Services, and we got a little background in the last thing and found out a little bit about clinical pharmaceuticals or pharmacists. Now we're going to talk about the Antimicrobial Stewardship Program. Now, I'm gathering that antimicrobial is a maybe fancy word for antibiotics or something.
Yes,
like that.
Yes, antibiotics, antivirals. So,
you know, a lot's been happening in the hospital settings, not necessarily here, but we hear about things in the news about, you know, bacteria and that go around in a hospital that are really hard to keep control. Now, you don't necessarily deal with that per se, or is that also part of your...
Definitely experience antimicrobial resistance in the hospital setting. Fortunately, we don't have a lot of resistance here in our community, but it's certainly rampant worldwide. And it is one of the key reasons why an antimicrobial stewardship program is so important within a healthcare system.
Getting the right stuff to the right patient, the right doses.
Having a program in place, a workflow in place, processes in place to ensure that the antimicrobial agent that we're prescribing is the correct agent or agents for a patient, that we're not over-prescribing and introducing the risk of antimicrobial resistance, that the antimicrobials that we prescribed are within a therapeutic range for the patient, and patients not becoming toxic because of some of these agents. And also key, these are not inexpensive drugs. Many are very high cost. And so it's really important to ensure that we have a good regimen of antibiotics to that will treat the bugs without introducing waste.
Do we know what the main reason for resistance is with antibiotics? And that is it an overprescribing over long periods of time? Is it bugs are getting tougher, more used to certain things?
All of the above. Absolutely. We are seeing bugs who are learning the agents that we are using. They are transforming, altering their makeup to be more resistant to those drugs.
Sounds like something out of a science fiction movie.
Well, if you've seen some of the bugs that I've seen in terms of their
ability
of their appearance under a microscope, you would think they were from outer space, yeah. I tell you. But
the ability to morph into something that
absolutely
that resists, you know, the antibiotics.
Yes.
Like, wow, these are almost like smart creatures.
They're super bugs.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that we really try to prevent is kind of a super bug. One of the causes for developing antibiotic resistance is the intermittent use of an antibiotic. So as an example, I'm sure, you know, we all have a partially used vial of antibiotics in our cupboard somewhere. We didn't finish a regimen, possibly. And so we have a few there, and maybe we start to feel ill and decide, well, I have these antibiotics. I'll just use those rather than going to see my physician because, you know, I could have an infection. So I take a partial dose.
It worked for me before.
Right.
Yeah,
worked for me before. So I go ahead and take that partial vial of antibiotics. But guess what? It wasn't the right antibiotic for the bug that you're growing, and you've now given that bug a taste of what that antibiotic is. That bug has quickly developed a resistance mechanism for that particular drug, and I now have a super bug.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the inappropriate use of antibiotic. It's also the inappropriate prescribing of antibiotics. Prescribing when you don't really need it. You don't have an infection. But you have a patient who is insisting that they've been sick. The only way they're going to get well is if they have an antibiotic. And so you give it to them, and lo and behold, they're still sick, and now we have an agent that or a bug that may be adapting to a particular antibiotic.
So in this stewardship program, what exactly are your responsibilities in this program?
Our clinical pharmacists at the hospital work very closely with our clinical pharmacists, did I say that? Work very closely with our hospitalists at Peace Harbor, as well as our infectious disease specialists who are located at our sister hospital in River Bend. So we have patients coming in. A pharmacist is reviewing their medication profile, their disease state, their entire medical record daily, ensuring that the bugs that we're treating are susceptible to the antibiotics that we're administering, that the levels of drugs that we're administering are within a therapeutic range, that the patient's kidneys and liver can handle the drugs and are able to eliminate the drugs from the system so that we don't introduce any adverse effects such as renal failure,
that
kidney failure.
Over-toxic.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. And so our pharmacists are monitoring that each day. If we have any concerns at all, we're consulting our hospitalists and as well as our infectious disease specialists. So it's a very coordinated approach to patient care. Pharmacists working closely with our nurses who are attending our patients. We know if the patient's restless or in any pain. We can see if the patient's spiking a fever, things like that. So we're monitoring very closely. I think what's making our program more successful than many programs in the United States is that we have a very good team, a very dedicated team of healthcare providers and other healthcare workers, our caregivers, dedicated to this very important program. So,
how does the CDC figure in all this?
I mean, well,
where did they come into it? And did they come and tell you, hey, we like what you're doing?
I got a phone call in March, cold phone call. And it's unusual for a director of pharmacy at any size hospital to receive a call directly from the CDC, but I did. Hmm. The agent from the CDC called, first off, congratulated Peace Harbor on a very successful antimicrobial stewardship program, one of the best antimicrobial stewardship programs for our size in the United States, and wanted to know why we were so successful. What could it be, and how could they use this information, the information that Peace Harbor provides them, to continue to promote antimicrobial stewardship best practices across the United States? So, of course, we were very thrilled, and we spent some time then with the CDC describing our program and what we believe makes us more successful than others. And really, that is a collaborative approach that we have, and just the excellent communication that we've developed within our own local team.
This must have also been a lot of paperwork, I would imagine, documenting all the stuff you've done and everything.
Clinical pharmacist services definitely involves a lot of documentation. As any, you know, as you may experience as a patient, anytime you visit the clinic or the hospital, there's all kinds of typing going on into the computer and updating medication records and, you know, just a lot of documentation.
So the CDC must have figured out they found like an R&D gold mine with your program then, huh?
They have. I contacted them back. They were going to use some of the information in a presentation that they were offering in June related to best practices. And they did use our information, and they, along with other facilities in the United States who are doing well, and so hopefully we'll see some, you know, some best practice recommendations distributed by CDC very soon.
I'm talking with Diana Pimlott. She's the Director of Pharmacy Service at Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, and we'll be back with more right after this.
You're not feeling well? You twist your ankle? Or you have that pain in your shoulder that just doesn't go away? There is an alternative to the emergency room. It's a Peace Health walk-in clinic. There's no appointment necessary, and you may have to wait, but you could see someone today. It's open 6 days a week in the 380 building just across from Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. The Peace Health Walk-In Clinic, your local health partners.
The spirit of healing is Peace Health.
When I think about the spirit of healing, I think the most important thing is that it's a team effort and everybody's on the same page.
At the end of the day, all we really want to do is help people.
It's not just a business, it's a mission.
Peace Health continues to reach out and bring healthcare to people who otherwise wouldn't have it.
Healing, compassionate, joyful. That's what Peace Health is about.
Hear stories of our healing spirit at peacehealth.org.
On our August edition of Doc Talk, talking with Diana Pimlott, or speaking with Diana Pimlott. I don't know what the proper English is for that one. She's the Director of Pharmacy Services at Peace Health, Peace Harbor Medical Center. And you were telling me during the commercial break about the 340B program. Tell me about
that. The 340B program is a United States federal government program that was initiated in the early 1990s. It requires drug manufacturers to provide outpatient drugs to eligible healthcare organizations at significantly reduced prices. The intent of the program is to allow eligible facilities to stretch scarce federal resources as far as possible, reaching more eligible patients and providing more comprehensive services. And that's a direct quote from the regulations around this particular program.
But that means for the average patient here in Florence, what?
We must, what that means here for us is that Peace Harbor is an eligible 340B entity. With that eligibility provides our patients access to, not just our patients, I should rephrase that, our community access to significant savings in drug prescription costs. While the program is very complicated, there's multiple requirements for eligibility that I wouldn't dream to begin to discuss here on the radio today. Suffice to say that Peace Harbor works very hard to ensure that we maintain eligibility within the 340B program. We do this to promote health within our community. I mean, have you ever heard of the 340B drug program before?
I mean,
it's been going on since 1992, right? Most patients, many in our community, have not heard of this valuable program. But I can tell you one group that is very aware of the program and works very hard to eliminate or decrease eligibility within the program, and that's Big Pharma. Pharmaceutical manufacturers work very hard.
Money, right?
It costs them money, and they contribute billions of dollars each year to lobby against this federal program. What does Peace Harbor do with the savings that we receive each year from participation in this program? We directly subsidize patients who do not have prescription insurance for their costs of their medications. So, unbeknownst to many patients, Peace Harbor, on inquiry, will ask our patients, do you have prescription insurance? If the answer is no, we provide them with what we call a cash card. The patient is told to take that card to a participating pharmacy here in town. We call them our 340B contract pharmacies because they have contracted. We have a number of them here in town who have contracted with Peace Harbor to provide 340B drugs to our community, patients in our community.
Now, these aren't lesser drugs by any means.
They're same drugs.
Okay.
Patient arrives at their retail pharmacy, hands them the cash card, and the patient may pay close to 60% less of what they would normally pay for, and in some cases will pay, Peace Harbor will subsidize the entire cost of the medication.
Wow.
Peace Harbor pays the pharmacy for the services rendered. So we pay our contracted pharmacies a fee. So there it is. We do that. In addition to that, the savings we've used over the years, we are adding services. One service that we added just a couple of years ago is a pharmacist-managed refill clinic. So our providers here in town, as our community increases, our patient population grows, the time that our provider needs to have to see and evaluate these patients equally grows. We have seen over the past several years a shortage in providers, an inability for our providers to see every patient that needs to be seen. Well, I can tell you that, you know, a third, maybe more than that, of the time a provider actually spends in patient care is not directly with a patient. It's evaluating the patient record. It's addressing prescription refill requests. It's looking at labs. It's evaluating imaging and diagnostic orders or consulting with outside providers. It's not in direct a conversation with a patient. For us to free up our provider time to see more patients and to spend more time with the patients that they have on their care panels, we put together collaborative relationships between our providers and our pharmacists, or the providers and the care team as a whole. The pharmacist-managed refill clinic is a direct result of savings that we have accrued over the years from our work within the 340B program. So when you have a refill request for a patient, a maintenance medication, it often goes directly to a pharmacist, a clinical pharmacist, who is reviewing your medical record, who is, you know, ensuring that you have accurate current labs for monitoring the chart, that there are no therapeutic duplications, that refill is appropriate, that you're taking the medications as prescribed, etc. So what you end up with is a more efficient program. Our patients are not waiting 4, 5, 6 days for their refills to be processed. We're getting them out faster. The orders are safer for our patients because our pharmacists are catching duplication of errors, misfills, things like that. And we're seeing an increase in patient satisfaction overall. Again, they're not waiting like they have in the past.
And it gives the doctors more time.
It gives the doctors time to see additional patients and spend more time with the patients overall. So that is kind of a description of what we do with those savings and why it is so important that we maintain and protect our 340B program.
I have a feeling we could probably talk for a whole hour on some of this stuff. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but I want to thank you for coming in today and sharing this information with us. I think it's important. There's so much I wanted to ask you, and I guess we'll have to have you back at another time.
Thank you.
Diana Pimlott, everybody. She's the Director of Pharmacy Services at Peace Health, Peace Harbor Medical Center. And listen again. We will hopefully bring her back one day. Thank you, Diana.
Thanks.
You have been listening to Doc Talk, presented by Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. For more information on the program and services provided, visit peacehealth.org.